I'm Rob Skinner, and this is the Rob Skinner Podcast, Dating and Relationship Life Advice. Chris Schwarzenberger and I tackle life advice questions from our listeners in today's episode. All this and more on the Rob Skinner Podcast. Welcome back to the Rob Skinner Podcast. My goal is to inspire you to live a no-regrets life. Make this life count and multiply disciples, leaders, and churches. I'm here today with Chris Schwarzenberger, an old friend who leads a church in Spokane, Washington. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
It is great to have you. Today, we're going to field questions from you, our listeners, on the subject of relationships and dating. Now, this is a disclaimer from both of us. These are our opinions only. And we'd ask you to get advice from trusted people within your congregation, your family, and trustworthy friends. Chris, you ready to get into it?
I am.
First question, what are the best ways to meet people outside of your home church other than conferences? Chris, you want to start that or?
Yeah, I'll start. Number one, it's not virtually. I think we can go beyond that. As nice as 2.5 years of Zoom was, not real. And so I just think it's best to just go places, to find new experiences, to travel. I think just getting into spaces that are new and meeting new people is really important. I think for me, my experience was going and doing something for God was a great place. And so if it's a mission trip or a hope project where you're serving with people, I think you see people more clearly when you're doing work and doing things than just showing up for like a conference or something like that, where everything's so busy. Really getting into the life is where you really get to meet people. So I think getting outside your church, traveling, doing great things for God, that's a great place to meet people.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so easy to get stuck in a rut where you're in the same routine, you're hitting midweek, you're hitting Sunday, you're seeing the same people over and over again. And then you're thinking, okay, 6 months out, there's going to be a conference. That's not enough. I mean, you've got to be so active. You got to be bumping into people right and left. I think, like you said, man, getting out there, talking to people, I think getting referrals, talking to your friends and say, who do you know who would be a right person for me? I think this is really a lost art. And when you go to different churches, hey, do you know anyone who's, you know, you think would be the right person for me? But talking to people, it's not the people you know, those people you already know. It's the people that don't know you and you don't know them. And oftentimes that's a couple steps away, but you can still find them, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think even what you're saying, I don't know, the weird correlation of swiping left and right of how people do stuff in the world, it doesn't make any sense. But when you go meet people, it was like the old school swiping left or right. People look at you and go, oh, you wouldn't be good for so-and-so. You'd be good for so-and-so. Like, it used to be other people would swipe for you. Like, oh, you should meet my friend Sally. Swipe right, you know, or left. I don't know which way to go. But I think that's so true. Like when you go meet people, you may not even meet the specific person you're interested in, but you meet their best friend and they get to see you and they get to make that connection.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think meeting a lot of people and not just meeting people for the sake of relationship or marriage, but meeting people for the sake of friendships and connections. I think that's where God can play a big part and guide you to somebody.
Exactly. And I think also just reaching out at your work, bringing people to church, you know, getting them to study the Bible, baptizing them, they could become a future wife. That's happened so many times in the past. That's not an immediate thing. It's not something you're going to get married next week, but it's something that you got to keep your eye on. You never know who's going to be out there for you. They could be sitting in the world right now, or they could be sitting in another church. But I think it's important to understand they're out there. They exist. sometimes we can get so negative to think they don't exist right now. I'm the only person in 8 billion people for me, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, question number two. How can I become a more marryable person?
A good question.
How can I become a more marryable person?
I'm assuming that I was marryable because Amy married me.
You passed the test.
I think I did, at least her test. But I think, you know, commit yourself to being faithful to God. Love God more than anything. I don't think there's anything more attractive in somebody else than their love for God, because that's so sustainable. And that dictates so many other parts of your relationship. And then learn to be a great friend. Like, when you're a great friend to your friends and to other people, like, that's a trait that people desire. They want to be around people who love people and are loved by people. I always teach that with ministry. Like, you've got to be endearing to the people you lead and the people you're around. And I think if you develop that, you start to attract people to your character and your personality, and you become, quote unquote, marryable.
I totally agree. That combination of spirituality and personality, friendliness, is so important. Now, I think the world tries to teach you something else. If you're watching social media, they're saying, hey, you need to lose 30 pounds and have a six pack before you're going to be marryable. And I go, man, we're going to be waiting a long time if we are waiting for that, or we're going to have this perfect body, or we're going to have the perfect complexion. I go, I feel like that is just such a non-issue in the spiritual realm. I mean, of course it's important. You got to be healthy, but let's just talk about loving God. The person you're looking for is probably looking for a spiritual person, just like you are, hopefully. I mean, this is a spiritual program. We're talking in the realm of church life. And I loved what Andy Stanley said. You want to become the person that the person you're looking for is looking for. Like, you've got to be a person who's spiritual and friendly. And I think, you know, Chris, one thing I see in people sometimes who've been waiting a while to try to find the right person is they develop kind of an edge, a little bit of their disappointments, their setbacks, their waiting has really kind of affected them negatively. And so they have kind of a defensiveness that makes them kind of hard-edged. And so they lose that cheerfulness, that welcoming spirit that attracts people, you know, the friendliness. And so I feel like so much of it is, in terms of being marryable, is, are you a friendly, approachable person that seems happy and cheerful with where you're at right now? And that's not always easy.
Yeah. And I think some of those people, I mean, that's when you get stuck on things you can't change. Like, focus on what you can change.
Right.
Like, I can't change my genetics. As much as I love flowing locks and to be 6'3", I am 5'9" and follically challenged. Like, I'm not able to change, but I can dwell on that. Like, I can't change that.
That's
I can't change those things.
That's right.
But I can change my persona, my lovingness, my generosity. I can change my character.
Exactly.
As much as I've tried to grow, I just can't. I can't get any taller. So I think a lot of people are upset, discouraged, despondent, and kind of, like you were saying, kind of put off that disgruntled vibe because they're so focused on things they can't change instead of focus on the things that them and God can change.
That's right. I couldn't have said it better, Chris. I just feel like we're focused on the wrong things. The things that, you know, our weight or this or that or whatever. And I go, listen, we're all going into marriage and relationships with a set of problems that have been long-term, but the person we're looking for still likes us in spite of those weaknesses. But the one thing that's important is, are you spiritual and are you a loving and kind person? So let's move on to the next question. How can I remain hopeful and faithful that someone's out there for me?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's one of those kind of disclaimers, or not disclaimers, but dichotomies of how much we lean towards Hollywood and like fairy tales and and these stories that we tell ourselves versus what we see in real life and what we see in scripture. Like there's so many people in scripture on the verge of losing hope or at a point where we look at them and go, just lose hope. I mean, a lot of us are kind of like Job. People are looking at us like, just curse God and die already. Like just curse God and be single, be lonely, be whatever. But we see in scripture, those who hope and persist usually discover something so much better than what was easy or compromised or anything like that. So I think we got to switch our narrative of which story we're trying to live in, the rom-com or the, you know, kind of biblically based faith story. I think it's switching which story we're the main character in.
Right. Okay. First of all, I want to thank the person who wrote these questions. These are carefully thought out and I think they're great, great questions and I appreciate it. So, you know who you are. Thank you so much. So how can I remain hopeful and faithful that someone's out there knowing that being single forever does happen for some people? Well, okay, this is where I feel like your faith has to take a very active role because it's just like Abraham. In the book of Romans, Paul said Abraham reasoned that God could somehow raise him from the dead, his son Isaac. And I think this is where you're going to have to really do some reasoning with God and his power and go, okay, here I am. I'm really looking for a great person. There's 8 billion people. Half of them are the sex that I'm looking for, the gender. And does God have the power to provide me, his child, whether son or daughter, with the person that I'm looking for? And I go, the question's got to be a definite yes if you're a faithful believer. Because think about this. This always helped me, and this has really helped me because just sharing from personal experience, I was a Christian in a larger church, probably 1,000 or so is in the Bay Area back in the late 80s. I know it's dating myself, but I had dated pretty much everybody who was around my age, and there are some great people, but it just wasn't the right person for me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if they're not here, where are they? And I had to take some really long, I just started praying. I just said, okay, God, I'm going to have to start praying. So I'd go out every night. I'd walk through the streets of Berkeley and I just had to reason with him. I said, okay, God, you've made every person and you know every person. There's got to be the right person for me. I'd take these walks and it'd be overcast. And I'd say, you know, even though I can't see the stars, I know they're out there. You know, they're still there. And I think sometimes we feel like there's just nobody for me. And that's the thought that needs to be captured. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 10, where it's like, you got to take captive that thought and go, that is a satanic thought because it's so debilitating and it stops you from even hoping, from looking, and it wrecks your faith in God. And that's where you got to go, okay, you got to do some more reasoning. You got to think, okay, Genesis 1 through 3, Adam was in the garden all by himself. No one with him. I mean, talk about a situation that was really desperate. He's like, literally nothing except for animals. And yet, God looked around and said, it's not right for this guy to be alone. And so he literally created somebody out of his own body and made Eve for him. And I think how much more will God do that for us when he has so many more people to choose from? So much easier. And so I really do feel like a lot of it is a faith issue where we just have to step up and just go, okay, don't give in to discouragement. Don't give in to cynicism, but just really dig deeper in your relationship with God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you said with Abraham, I like this concept of posture, like what's our positioning towards things. And I think sometimes we get like, when it comes to dating or something we're really passionate about, we get like these racehorse blinders where we just can see what we're staring at.
That's right.
And God's like working in the peripheral, but we're just not open
right
to what God is. We've lost hope. We're not really faithful because, you know, like you were saying, the hopefulness of God doing something that's unseen. Faith is hope that's unseen. Faith is right. Seeing beyond what's right in front of us. And I think just taking off the blinders, having that open posture, like the hopeful expectation that God is going to do something great. Like
that's right.
Live in expectation. God is going to fulfill promises and God is going to be faithful. That's what changes your perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's helped me a lot. Not in, you know, in my current state of life, like to have expectation for God to work changes everything.
Right.
And I think that definitely can apply to being hopeful and faithful that there's someone out there for you.
Exactly. And you know when you've been affected, when, you know, people say, well, what about him or what about her? You're like, nope, nope, nope. I mean, it's just like everything is a no, a hard no. You won't even consider the thought. And I go, that's where you got to kind of open up and go, wait a second here. I got to remove the blinders, because the person that might be right for you, you may already know them, but you just don't see them in that light. And that's certainly a possibility. So you definitely got to broaden your field of view. Okay, question number four. What are Rob's top three red flags for someone you're interested in? And what are your green flags?
The okay. best part about this question is it's not red flags of anybody in general. It's red flags of somebody you're already interested in. Like, the question seems, and I'm not trying to posit what the person's getting at here, but like, I really like this person, but I'm seeing things. Are these real red flags? Like, so what are the Rob's top three red flags?
Okay. Top three red flags. Let's say you've spotted somebody. You're not really deeply. You're not dating steady, or you're not serious yet. But you're like, okay, red flags. I think number one is worldliness, and kind of maybe they're flashy, they're funny, they're charismatic, but they're not really spiritually oriented. They're kind of worldly wise, cynical, sarcastic. Could be really snarky. I go, That's not good. If I hear of a person who's like really running down other people, running down leadership, running down the church, running down Christianity, running down this, who knows all the weaknesses of everyone in the fellowship, knows all the weaknesses of the ministers, and just can laugh about it, I go, that's a red flag in my mind. Because I go, I want someone who's idealistic and is faithful. And if a person can be really funny in a real worldly way, even in the church. And I go, that's a red flag for me. I'll just start there. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I like that. Maybe a Bible litmus test. Turn to Elijah 5. If they can find Elijah 5 and they know about it, then, and I know there's somebody listening going, oh, I know Elijah 5. Hey, Chip, it's not in the Bible. It's made up. Anyway, I think, yeah.
You had, love you had me going there for a second there, Chris. I'm like, wait a second.
Rob's like looking out of the corner of his eye, Elijah 5. Yeah, when Rob's looking at the table of contents, we're in trouble. But I think friendships are the next one. Like, do they build friendships? Do they have good friendships? Or do they have a tough time making those? Because if they have a tough time maintaining and building friendships, then that's challenging. Loyalty is best expressed in friendship, mm-hmm. right? I was sharing with a young man this morning, I'm going to reference in a wedding I'm doing later today, that, you know, the greatest love is that you would lay down your life for your friends. Like, Jesus models that and calls us to that. And I think when somebody has great friendships, like if you can look at them and visualize their groomsmen or their bridesmaids yeah. based on their network of friendships, yep. that is a green flag, I guess. The red flag is you can't envision it. They don't have great friendships. That should be a red flag.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I mean, the friendships, when I first met Pam, I just thought, wow, she's fun. She's easy to be with. She's funny in a easy way to be with. It's just that was a great green flag for me. I think another red flag is if the person is if the person has massive issues that are constantly coming to the forefront, I think that's a red flag. Like, let's say that the person's got a porn issue, you know, or they've got some massive gambling issue, or they've got, you know, some other issue, then I would say maybe not a red flag, but at least a yellow flag that they're going to have to take care of business first before this gets really serious. Because when you get married, you're kind of buying into that. You're buying into that package. And I go, if you know of something that's really affecting that person, I go, you kind of need to vet them a little bit. That's what dating and engagements for, which is good. It's like you figure out, whoa, you know, you got some business to take care of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you have to be honest about those things. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, dating will fix this, or
Right.
marriage will fix this, or family. Like, we tend to think those things will fix it, but they're deeply rooted.
Yeah.
I think you're right. That's a huge red flag.
I think for green flags, what I'd say is this. I think having a real love for the mission. When I met Pam, I just thought she'd gone on a mission team to Egypt. She was on her way to Asia on another mission team. I just felt like I go, yeah, this is the kind of person I'm looking for. Adventurous, exciting, wants to make this life count, wants to live a no regrets life. I go, that's what I'm looking for. And she was living it. And so it wasn't just talk. It wasn't just like, oh, I like the outdoors. You know, it's like she was actually going for it. And that really impressed me. And so she was, you know, really, she had good relationships. I just felt like, you know, we were looking through the same window. There was a fit in the way we were looking at things. So that those were the green flags that really made a difference. And when I talked to her and spent time, I was just like, this is easy. There's no head games. It's just really fun.
Yeah, I think number one green flag is that they could be your best friend.
Yeah. Oh,
Like, that is
yeah, you're right.
gotta be.
Yep,
It's the
definitely.
only thing that lasts. I remember
Exactly.
being on a date with Amy, and I like threw some whipped cream at her from dessert, and she chased me like three city blocks. And I remember, as I'm running with her and a whipped cream can chasing me, I was like, this is the woman for me. It was like at that moment, right? Of that deep threat of her speed and her aggressiveness. No, but I think, and being on the same level too, like if your passion is, you know, serving the poor, or your passion is planting churches, you're like, you have similar passions that you can encourage each other in. That's so powerful.
Exactly.
And how you build that.
Chris, I want to go back to question number three. How can I remain hopeful and faithful? Someone's out there for you. You've been a great friend for decades and one of my best friends. But I feel like your relationship with Amy is one of the most inspiring for people who are wondering, is there someone out there for me? Can you talk a little bit about how you guys got together and the circumstances of your engagement?
So, I mean, I was leading a singles ministry here in Spokane, Washington, ironically, and, you know, got invited down by Rob to go into the full-time ministry. And I moved from a ministry of like, you know, 15, 20 single sisters and just a great environment. And then I moved to Ashland, and there's, you know, 10 people in the church. Half of them had the last name Skinner, and were either married or children. And then there was two single sisters, and one of them happened to be Amy. And I think our friendship and our relationship were forged just in the work, the working in a small church, serving in a small church, doing things together. And, you know, even as we started dating, Amy lost her father, and we had to go through hardships and challenges. Like, it wasn't fairy tale, and there was times where it felt hopeless. You know, I was 26 or 27, had been a Christian for 4 or 5 years. Like, there's times where it became hopeless based on circumstance or
Right.
opportunities. But it's just a matter of just staying faithful and getting lots of advice. I remember sitting on the hill above Southern Oregon University and just calling everybody I knew and asking them to pray and give input and give advice. Like, how do we move forward? How do we do these things? And I think that's what kind of carried us. And I think, man, because of that, we've gone through so many different things. And
Yeah.
that's a whole nother podcast I think Rob already recorded, you can listen to. Like, we've gone through so much together, but we know we're resilient because we did hard things together, and it built our faith and our hopefulness.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the most inspiring stories because you were going into a really, really difficult situation. Just not, I mean, starting mission team, I think there was less than 10 people in the church at that point. And yet, boom, God provided. He provided, but you were doing his will and he said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart." And he did, which is really awesome. It's great to see your relationship over the years. And so I think that's really awesome. So don't lose heart, even if you're in a situation and go, I don't know how this is going to happen. I remember Pam telling me that when she was in Cairo, Egypt, she went on the mission team. There was three single brothers, three single sisters, and they weren't matching up. You know, they were just, all the guys were getting in relationships with people back home or in different places. And she's like, how's this going to happen? She started praying. And then they got kicked out of the country for trying to evangelize in a Muslim country. And guess what? You know, she landed in San Francisco. She didn't want to be there. She wasn't happy. But a year later, she was married to me. So God did provide her in a situation that was difficult on the surface. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't stop believing in God. Okay, next question. Let's go back. Number five question. How do you let someone down easy if you're not interested in pursuing a relationship with them? Great. Yeah. Another great question. Thank you.
Really great question. They say lift with your knees. So I think getting in a good athletic posture and lower them slowly. I reread that question and I was like, how do you let someone down? Well, you shouldn't be picking them up in the first place. No, I jest because it's just challenging. I think if I were to be honest, three words, honesty, directness, and kindness.
Yep.
And those, if you go by those three, you're just honest, you're to the point, and you're kind about it. I think that's the best way to share that with somebody.
I'm totally with you. And just be timely, like be decisive. Like so many times you can think, you know, I don't think this is really working. I'm not really happy, but there's no one else I have. You know, at least this guy is taking me out or this woman, you know, she's someone I can go out with. And so you're kind of wishing and hoping that it's your feelings are going to change. And I just go, listen, if you've gone a month or two and you're feeling the same way, you've got to cut it off. And just like you said, Chris, just sit the person down and say, hey, I want to say thank you so much for our relationship. But at this point, my feelings have changed. And I think it's time we broke it off. And then just stop talking. Just that's it. And I feel like people kind of get into a problem of talking too much in a breakup. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, no, I think two comments. One, you're not married. Like right. We're talking about dating or pre-dating. Like you're not in a committed relationship. The world says you're kind of committed as soon as you whatever standard is. And so you don't owe each other anything at that point. And so you can just share, hey, my feelings have changed and moved on. And I think it's important too, to let it be your own voice,
right?
Like let it be your own words. Like, please don't repeat exactly what Rob and I are saying, you know, verbatim, you're writing it down. And, you know, please even more than that, don't pick up your phone and play this part of the podcast to them. It's not you, it's me. But let it be your own words, because I think sometimes it can be disingenuous that you got advice and you took that advice and you shared that with them. It needs to be your own words that, hey, appreciate this time we've had. My feelings have changed and I feel like it's best for us to move on. Yeah. I need to move on, you know, because it's just not the same. If you're like, yeah, Rob and Chris on this podcast said, this isn't working out. We need to move on. I'm moving to Cairo, Egypt or San Francisco.
I agree. And it's like, sometimes we want to control how the person responds. And I go, that person's probably gonna be really mad at you for a while. And they may go through 6 months where they have a hard time getting over you. And I go, that's kind of their issue. And if they still can't, they're going to need to get some counseling or they're going to need to talk to somebody else. That's not you. That's them. Yeah. And as long as you're kind and clear, and you're not fuzzy, like, oh, you know, but I still want to be friends and I'm hoping we can go out every once in a while. Like, don't say that. Just say, no, my feelings have changed and, you know, this is it. I feel like this is, you know, I go, just to allow that person, they're going to have to go through that process of grieving. And so will you. It won't be easy. You probably still have a certain amount of feelings for them. So I think your advice is great on that one. Okay.
And I think when you said direct and quick, you know, do it in the moment. Don't be like this guy. Quick story. He was having a double date at our house. We had a big guy's house that we all lived together. And I was like in the garage watching TV. Two of the brothers had converted the garage to a sports bar. That's a whole nother story for a different podcast. But we're out there watching TV and all of a sudden I look over and he's sitting next to me on the couch. And I looked at him and I go, aren't you on a date? He's like, yeah, it's not going well. I think we need to break up. I'm like, well, why are you in here watching TV with us? Like, go have that conversation. You don't just walk out in the middle of the date. That doesn't clearly communicate. So be direct, be clear, be Be honest.
Exactly. Be kind. I mean, for me,
don't just ghost them.
No, definitely not, Chris. And I think this is where we can try to super spiritualize it and go, oh, I'm going to talk to somebody else, one of my friends, and have them talk to that person. Or, you know, maybe you're going to pull a seventh grade tactic and pass them a note or something in the fellowship, like it's time for us to say goodbye. No, you need to talk to that person face-to-face, in person, eyeball to eyeball, and let them know what you really think. And, you know, if they're long distance, you can do it over the phone, but definitely not by texting or any other method. Just
no changing your status to "it's complicated." That's not a good way.
No way. Not okay. No way. No way. Be direct and honest. Okay. Next question. And I believe this is the last question. Number 6, how do you know the line between quote unquote, "I need to persevere through this situation," and quote unquote, "I need to move on to something new"?
Yeah.
So how do you know when to cut bait and run or stick it out?
This is one of those things where I think, you know, you talked about spiritualizing stuff. We can over-spiritualize, deny yourself and pick up your cross daily. And we can overly apply that to situations that just aren't healthy, aren't productive, and really just aren't godly. And so I don't know if you have any practicals off the top of my head, but I think if there's something damaging or hurtful in that relationship, or there's just not the love of God in that relationship, I think that's a time where you don't persevere, you move on. I don't know if you have something more specific to that.
No, I think it's a great, great question. And I think people get stuck in relationships that they go, what should I do here? It's not really going anywhere. I can share personally. There was a woman I was dating before I met Pam, and I was just in love with her. I wanted to get married. She was beautiful, and I just thought, oh, she's the woman for me. But I started to tank spiritually. I really started to struggle. I was dealing a lot with pride and selfishness and just, you know, a lot of younger Christian issues that were really troubling me. And I remember a person saying, hey, you know, you might want to consider maybe taking a break and getting your relationship with God on straight. And I thought, that's really good advice. I mean, and so I talked to her and I said, hey, listen, I'm thinking about maybe we should take a little break here. Like, I'm kind of messed up right now. And she was really kind. She's like, no problem. So we stopped dating for a period of time. The assumption was we were going to get back together, you know, once I got my stuff together. About 6 months passed, I repented and started growing again. But at that point, my feelings had really changed for her. They just weren't where they once were. I wasn't interested in getting back together. Now, you know, she was still as great as ever, but I just wasn't interested at that point. I was changed. And, you know, I met Pam shortly after that, and we got married a year later. But I think if you're not doing well spiritually, make sure your relationship with God's on straight. You know, that really helped me a ton. If you're just tanking spiritually, you're probably not in a spot where you should be in a dating relationship right now. You don't have a lot to give because you're not really strong spiritually. I think also, like, if the person has some major issues that comes to the surface, and you're kind of hoping that they're going to be able to change, don't build a relationship on hope or wishful thinking. You have any thoughts on that, Chris?
Yeah, I think I was reminded of Galatians 6, right? Where Paul says in verse 2, carry one another's burdens, in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And in verse 5, for each person will have to carry his own load. And I think there's context there and wordplay on purpose that you can't carry somebody's life for them. You can't fix issues of the past. You can't fix their relationship with God. Like, you can't be carrying their daily load. Like, if you're carrying their faith and you're carrying their responsibilities, that's going to create an unhealthy dynamic that you're not going to be fulfilled in. There are things that are burdens, you know, that come up. You know, I think, you know, with Amy and I's dating relationship, there was a burden in her life, and I was able to display the love of Christ and be alongside her for that. And I think that's different, but burdens are rare compared to your daily load, just carrying your own pack. And so I think it's, you don't persevere if you're carrying that person's faith and you're carrying the relationship. Or another story and experience that I counseled, you know, you're carrying their sin. This young woman was kind of hiding sin for him and carrying that burden. And it just wore them both out, you know, and you can't do that. You can't carry their faith and you can't carry their life. You have to be a partner. And so you can help with heavy loads, but the light stuff, they got to be able to do on their own. And that's not a time to persevere.
Yeah.
You can't carry that for them.
I mean, there's so many things that I could say on this. I mean, if the person is causing a rift between you and your relationship with God, or between you and relationships in the church or the leadership of the church, and that's a total red flag, you got to break that off. I just go, that's a no-go. I think another thing, like I said before, if they've got some major issues, whether it's drug, alcohol, sexual sin, money, massive financial issues, those things, unless the person is showing great progress, don't hope that they're going to change. It's probably a long-term situation. But I do think there are some situations that you can work through, like Chris said. Like when I was dating Pam, one of the questions I had in my mind is, can she really respect me? Because I was a very young, eager, but bumbling intern in the church. And she was an accomplished minister who'd already gone overseas to do missionary work. And she was just seemed to baptize people with a wave of her hand. It was amazing. And I was just struggling all the time. And, you know, I really had to figure this out. Like, can she do it? But it was, for me, it was like a deal breaker. I just thought, I need a woman who can follow me and feels like she can respect me. And so it kind of came to a head one day. We were at a leadership meeting, and it was a large room. There was about 40 or 50 people. And the evangelist had asked me to do some stuff before the holiday. And then he was holding me accountable and just said, hey, did you get this done? No. Did you get this done? No. And, you know, after about the third time, he's like, Rob, you need to flat out repent and get your stuff done. Now this was, you know, I was really humbled, but I was just like, he's totally right. I just totally dropped the ball in terms of my responsibilities. The challenge was Pam was sitting right next to me, you know, when I got challenged. And it was so, my face was so red. We were driving home that night over the Bay Bridge. I had a 71 VW bus, engines just kind of rumbling across. And I'm like, well, what'd you think about tonight? And she said, you know what? I was really impressed by you. And I was like racking my brain to think, how could she be impressed with anything? And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I was really impressed that you didn't cry. When he challenged you, you didn't cry. And I just thought, yes. And that was the turning point for me, because I thought, if she can find something positive at one of my low points, then she's the one for me. And absolutely. She did other things too, like this. She would ask me for advice. I only found this out, Chris, like 6 months ago, but she would ask me for advice that she already knew the answer for, but just to make me feel like I was useful.
The question that I arise to that is, has it stopped? And could you tell?
You know what? Maybe it's just been going on from
And because your wife influenced my wife, I now need to have that conversation. Like, you get advice just to make me feel good.
Oh, but
that's good.
I just feel like, hey, it. I think also, like, there's some basics. We can't super spiritualize. Are you a great, like you've said, are you a great friend with this person? Is the friendship there? That's a deal breaker. If it's not there, it's no good. And two, am I physically attracted to the person? We're physical beings. God created us as sexual beings. If the physical attraction is not there, then I feel like that's a deal breaker right there. So there's got to be some basics there. They don't have to be beautiful, but they do need to, you need to feel attracted to them. So those are great.
And again, we're talking about not marriage. Like,
right.
There's no covenant bond here.
Right. Exactly.
Covenant bonds, you persevere. But in these, you're not committed. And so you can feel free to kind of move on. Like, if this relationship isn't life-giving, if you can't see a future and a direction where you're going to be inspired to love God, inspired to serve people, inspired to pursue your dreams and live a life of adventure, then yeah, you don't persevere through drudgery.
Right.
If you're not, you know, if you're pursuing that.
I agree. And that's the beauty and the wisdom of Christian dating, is to have a dating courtship engagement. You have enough time to really figure these questions out beforehand. before you, mm-hmm. you know, people in the world, they move in together and stuff like that. I go, just figure this out, build a friendship. That's what I really appreciate about my relationship with Pam is because there wasn't any, the physical aspect was just on hold. I mean, we gave each other a 3-second closed mouth kiss once a week. That was our boundary. But other than that, it was just all friendship, you know, holding hands. And it really forced me to build the relationship and get to know her. And it was awesome. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, Chris,
it took Pam a while to get used to the stopwatch in the corner of her eye. But...
Chris, you know me too well. You know me too well. I've got,
and then a journal to track it. 3.1. 2.9.
I've got my egg timer right here, right where
right
I need
there.
It. It's still here to this day. Oh my gosh. Man. But Chris, it's been great. You know, I when I thought about doing this segment, I thought I really want to do it with somebody that I feel close to, a great friend from the past, and I thought immediately of you. And when I thought of you, I just started laughing, just the thought of doing this segment together. So thank you so much for this time together. And if you have questions, if you have follow-up questions, or maybe you're thinking, hey, I'd like to ask this question, maybe it's not even related to dating, just email me, rob@robskinner.com, and I'll put Chris's email in there as well and in the show notes, and you can shoot him an email. But we'd love to hear from you. Really appreciate these questions coming from our listeners. Thank you so much. Hope it's helped. Again, if you've got specific dating information or dating questions, or you need help in dating relationships, please talk to someone in your church. Talk to your women's ministry leader or evangelist or elder or deacon. Talk to friends you can trust. Talk to your family. Get their advice. And we hope that this helps. It's definitely shared with sincerity and from personal experience, but really appreciate this time. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Here's how you can help support the program. First of all, hit the subscribe button and send a link to your friends. Let your friends know about it. Secondly, read and review one of my books, either How to Plant and Grow a Church or Courage, How to Make This Life Count. You can find both of them on my website at robskinner.com, or you can go to amazon.com. Because my goal is to inspire you to make this life count, live a no regrets life, and multiply disciples, leaders, and churches. Have a great day, and make this life count.